So today's message is going to be on the subject of blessing and cursing, the power of blessings. This is one of the messages John Tyson, who's a pastor from New York City, shared with us at our New Frontiers Family of Churches conference this past week that Abel and I attended. There was half a dozen really excellent messages, but I thought this one I could share with us, and it would be edifying. Also, I want to remind everybody, after the service, there's a luncheon. So I'll give some instructions about how we're going to, you know, clean up and everything. But we're going to start lunch, you know, about exactly at 12:15, by God's grace. And everybody's welcome. We want you all to come and stay. Ingrid has this exhortation to share with us. That's going to a picture. Get it right. You're going to be inspired. So let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you that everyone's here this morning. We thank you, Father, that in Jesus Christ, we receive blessing. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to understand that. Let your word be real to us and practical. Help me, Father, to be an able minister of your truth, and that you'd build us all up in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start with a question. The concept of like blessings and curses, is that still true today for us as believers, true in the 21st century? Is that a Old Testament concept, or you know what I mean? How many think it's real today? Okay, I agree. It is real today. Let's look at Galatians 3. This is the first scripture at the bottom of your sheet. Galatians 3, 13 through 14, Paul is writing, and he says this, Christ Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, meaning the law of Moses, the old covenant, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus hanging on the cross, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In the law of Moses, there's a chapter in Deuteronomy called Deuteronomy 28. And the first, like, 15 verses or so are all the blessings that will come to the Jewish people if they obey the covenant. And God says, I'll bless you going out. I'll bless you when you come in. I'll make you the head. You won't be the tail. Other nations will borrow from you. You won't have to borrow from anybody. It goes on and on. It's wonderful. Well, then, actually, it's about three times as long. There's three times as many curses if the people forsake God and follow false gods. And so you'll be the tail, not the head, and you're going to flee seven ways before your enemies. It goes on and on. Jesus Christ, when he hung on the cross, became a curse. Scripture says anyone who hangs on a tree like that is cursed. Not only was he cursed, he took all the curses of the law into himself and died. And when he rose again, he rose into new life in order to bring what to you and me? Blessing, the blessing of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. And God promised many blessings to Abraham that now Gentiles, those are the non-Jewish people who are hearing the gospel, will be able to enter into all those blessings as if they were Jewish believers. So Paul's really excited about this. And my point, and this is at the top of your sheet, blessing from God to us is at the heart of the gospel. This isn't just like a nice idea. This is at the heart of the gospel message. What is the biblical concept of blessing? The word blessing in Hebrew means to speak the intention of God. It can also be translated to be happy where you are. Lots of times people talk about blessing and being happy. That's a biblical concept. In the Greek, the word is eulogio, from which we get the word eulogy. What's a eulogy? Something you say to honor someone who's dead. As Christians, we want to learn to do that while people are alive. Amen? It blesses them a lot more if they're alive when you say it. And so we do that. We honor one another. The second point is blessings, like eulogies, are tailor-made for each person. What do we mean by that? I believe God has blessings for you that are just for you. There's blessings that come for everybody as a Christian, forgiveness, being a child of God. But there's specific gifts God's given you, and there's callings we have. And so it's our job, when we say we're going to bless other people, we are identifying gifts that they have. We're speaking to those gifts, trying to draw people out. Does that make sense? When did Jesus do this? We saw this in Luke's gospel. We've been studying Luke's gospel. Jesus calls Peter. Peter's like, oh, I'm such a sinful man, Lord. Like, leave me alone. You're too holy. He says, nope, follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Isn't that great? So Jesus is speaking, says, Peter, I'm telling you, this is the person you're going to be. He's blessing him. So I do this. Sometimes Steph Chambers, I go, Steph, you have the ability to sing in such a way to lift our hearts and spirits and worship. I want you to just go for it. Do you believe Stephanie can do that? Absolutely. Okay, so we try and call that out. Lee Zhang one time gave a little message, like a 5 or 10 minute message at a men's meeting. Linus and I were like, wow, Lee just spoke with such conviction. And we're trying to help, like, Lee, like, you have the ability. And, you know, Lee is a very, you know, laid back. And so I'm trying to draw, we're trying to draw that out of him. You have the ability to teach the word of God. So that's what we're to do for each other. Are we going to try and take that to heart? Good. All right. Next point. Why do we need blessing? Well, biblically, the human soul is designed for it by God. So that's the next fill-in. We're designed to receive blessing. All of creation, God speaks it into existence. And then in Genesis 2:28, it says, God blessed Adam and Eve, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over it. So right from the beginning, God blessed his creation. He blessed Adam and Eve. And so we're designed, just like Adam and Eve, to receive blessings from God. That's who we are. Blessing and cursing are real today because Satan lies and deceives. So we see in the story in Genesis, Adam and Eve are living in the Garden of Eden. They've received this great, beautiful garden to live in. Satan comes and he begins to lie to them and say, oh, did God really say you shouldn't eat from the tree of the life of the knowledge of good and evil? When you eat that, you'll be just like God. And so they bought into an idea that there's something better that God was withholding from them. They ate it, and what happened? It brought a curse. And Satan still works that way today. He tries to get people to believe that there's something better outside of living God's way, and instead what they find is a curse. They find pain. They find broken relationships. They find dysfunction. So God wants to bring us out of curses and into his blessing. Are you with me? Okay. Does Satan still try and work people into curses today? Yeah. Are there people who try and curse other people? Right. I mean, it's not as well known in America, but there's people who are witches today. They call themselves good witches, and they actually pronounced, you know, curses on people. They say, oh, it's only for good and this and that, but I've talked to people who are involved in covens, and they say, oh, no, we know how to curse people. That's still happening. If you go to Africa, very common in parts of Africa. So this is a great story. I was in Nigeria a couple weeks ago. I'm going to tell you a Chibuzo story, my friend Chibuzo. Okay, he's the kind of guy who does things that normal Christians don't do. So here's the story. My friend Cheeb gets invited to a guy's house. The guy is a witch doctor. The guy is involved in occultic, spiritual, demonic practices. Cheeb knows this. Cheeb goes, when you come into someone's living room and you're invited to someone's house in Nigeria, it's customary that you serve them some food. And there's these nuts called kola nuts. They're rather bitter. I can't stomach them. I feel really bad because it's an honor to get one, and it's like I'm unable to digest it. Cheeb said, the guy served me a kola nut, and Dave, I suspected it was poisoned. I said, wow. So I said, Cheeb, what did you do? He said, I ate it.
What?
I'm like, you ate a poisoned kola nut on purpose? Like, what are you thinking? He goes, I have to show him that God is bigger than like his efforts. So I'm like, wow. So Cheeb eats this kola nut. Okay, he goes, that night he's at a church service. He feels funny. He goes outside. He starts coughing, and he's coughing up blood from this poisoned kola nut. Well, he gets these people. Everybody prays for Cheeb. I'm not recommending you do this, but this really happened. His friends, they all pray for Cheeb, and he recovers. He's okay. So a week later, this guy sees Cheeb walking around town. He goes, oh, he goes, you're a strong man. And Cheeb goes, no, I have a strong God. Within like 2 months, this guy contracts this terrible disease and dies. The witch doctor. Sorry, not Cheeb. Cheeb's still alive. I just went to visit him. It's shocking. I mean, you're kind of like, whoa, like that doesn't fit into our nice Western American kind of like life. But that was reality for him. So there's a guy trying to curse and kill my friend. God's bigger. Hallelujah. God, you know, rescued him. God dealt with this guy in a severe way. He reaped what he sowed. But this is real, is what I'm getting at. These things are real. Okay, there's another way that curses come to people. There's a curse of generational sin. In Exodus 34, God reveals himself to Moses, and he passes by him. He says, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands or to a thousand generations, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Isn't that wonderful? That's who our God is. Yet, he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. So the fill-in for number four is Satan deceives us and we inherit what? A curse. The next one is sins get passed down through the family. How many of you have a bad habit in which you're just like one or both of your parents? Raise your hand. Well, I've got one. You know what I mean? It's just like it gets passed down. We become like the people we live with. We inherit things from them. So that's the bad news. The good news is that Jesus redeems us from the sins of our parents, our grandparents, or our families. So the power of Jesus Christ, the power of his death and resurrection, the power of the new birth, God's Holy Spirit coming to live inside of you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. When that power comes into you through receiving Christ Jesus into your life, you get a new inheritance. Somebody say amen. Okay, you get a new inheritance. That's the next fill-in. So we're not, you know, you read that about the sins of the fathers getting passed down to third and fourth generations. Social scientists note this. Alcoholism runs in families. Addictions run in families. It's just common. So Jesus comes to break that power off of your life. Let's look at Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. It's on your sheet. I'm going to read this to you. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with how many spiritual blessings? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we perfectly keep all his commandments. No. Because we pray and fast and are so holy. No. Because we are united with Christ. That's the good news. Every spiritual blessing. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. That's the New Living Translation. I love this. John Tyson was preaching this. He said, you know, when like the Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or people from like Christian cults come to talk to him, he'll say, can we look at Ephesians 1? And he reads Ephesians 1. He goes, Jesus has given me every spiritual blessing in heaven. I've been adopted into his family, and I'm without fault in the eyes of God. Do you have something better to offer me? Seriously, I want you to remember that. I mean, not like, don't be haughty, but just like, do you, because they don't. It's like it's all works, and it's striving, and, you know, you got to obey their laws and do things their way. No, this is what we have in Christ. This is what Jesus bought for us. That's the meaning of grace. Hallelujah. Romans 8:17 says, you have been given a spirit of adoption as one of God's very own children, by which we cry out, what? Abba, Father, Daddy. And he says, you become heirs of God. Okay? So who are my heirs? David, Jonathan, Faith, all my kids, right? So Paul's using that exact language. When you put your faith in Jesus, you become an heir of God Almighty. That's pretty good, right? I mean, how many of you wish that your parents would leave you $5 million? Yeah, almost all of us, right? So God might not give you $5 million, but you have a father who's richer than Bill Gates, and he knows exactly what you need, and he's going to pour blessings into your life. Wow. That's the gift we have. That's who Jesus Christ is to us. So on your sheet, the next point is God wants to not only forgive us, but to also what? Bless us. So blessings are real. The next point, there's a curse that comes into people's lives through personal sin and rebellion. So on your sheet, personal sin and rebellion have consequences. They have consequences. Sometimes we make decisions and there's a consequence. And so we have to live with that consequence. Now, God can redeem us and help us get through the mistake we've made, but there are consequences, right? So if someone, I mean, this happens. There are people who murder people. They get in jail for life. They go to a prison fellowship or a Christian Bible study, and they actually meet Jesus Christ. Can their sin be forgiven? Absolutely. Murderers can be forgiven. Paul helped murder people. Moses murdered a man. Does that mean he's going to immediately get out of jail? No. Now, he might. You know, maybe he could get clemency, or Mr. Obama as the president has a power to commute people's sentences. But there's a consequence. Now, for us, there's much smaller consequences, but God can help us through that. Why? Because we receive blessings that are greater than the mistakes we made. Can I say that again? In Jesus, we receive blessings that are greater and bigger and stronger than the mistakes we make. Hallelujah. How many people do you know around you? Think of people where you work. People think, you know, think of friends you had in school or whatever. How many people are unhappy? And they're frustrated. I mean, young people all the time say life, S-U-C-K-S's, right? I mean, how often do you hear that? All the time. Well, what is that? They're upset, but a lot of that is because they've made choices that result in pain and curses, and they're upset. They're upset sometimes with themselves. They're upset with God. He's like, God, why did you do this to me? It's because, well, God's trying to say, hey, if you lived my way, this wouldn't have happened. And actually, I want to come into your life now and redeem you from what you've gotten yourself into. That's the good news. Next point. Curses come into our lives because they're spoken over us by others. On your sheet, life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's Proverbs 18:21. There's a power that people speak over people. John Tyson gave a very moving testimony of a young woman who came into their church. They have a number of churches in New York City. They went to a place called Hell's Kitchen to start a church, and it's just totally, you know, godless. And people say to him, like, hey, how's it going, like, in the new church plant? He goes, you know what? It's really hard. It's the hardest thing we've ever done in our lives. That's being honest, because people don't know how to respond when I say that. But he's hanging in there, okay? And like, people are getting saved. So this woman came, and she told her story of how growing up, her father would say to her all the time, "You're ugly. You're ugly. You're ugly." And she kind of grew up with this thing like, oh, you know, am I ugly or not? And John said, she's actually stunningly beautiful. There's this young woman. And so when she got older, all of a sudden she began to realize, oh, actually, I'm a beautiful and men find me attractive. And she could manipulate men. And so she told him, she goes, you know, when I would get these men, I knew we were going to hook up. Inside my head, I'm thinking, see, another man wants me. And she's trying to answer that, you're ugly, that's still going around inside of her. Her father pronounced a curse on her. And she said the thing was, no matter how many men I had, his voice was always the loudest voice in my head. So it wasn't until she met Jesus and she received the approval of her heavenly Father, because she realized, I'm addicted to seeking the approval of men. I want men to like me and want me. Once she received the Father's approval through faith in Jesus, she became free. Now, she had to work through that. Do you think there's ever a time where that voice ever pops up again? Sure it does. But God has put a new voice in her, the voice of God's Spirit. And that voice is prevailing in her. She's walking with God now. Just when I was with my friend Shibuzo, I talked to one woman, and she was telling me how growing up, her sisters were always mean to her. It kind of sounded like Cinderella. And they, you know, were mean to her and mean to her. And she said it got so bad that this one older sister, on her wedding day, the older sister's wedding day, this woman is in the wedding party, they were alone, and the sister turned to her and said, "Do you realize you will never marry a man of any significance?" And she was just like, whoa, where did that come from? She said, "But Dave, that like haunted me for years. It's a curse." And curses can come into our heart and souls, and they become like prophetic destinies in people's lives. That's how the devil works. Well, fortunately, she's a believer in Jesus Christ. So she learned to put aside that voice, and as it turned out, she married a young man who became a chief in his community. They still have like chiefs, even though it's not out in a village, it's in a city, but that part of the city, he's recognized as a chief. He's a businessman, she's a businesswoman, they're wealthy, she's the most successful person in her family. She said, "Dave, but for years, Dave," she goes, I wondered if I'd ever amount to anything." Okay, there's the power, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so our goal as believers is to bless people. And so we want to speak encouragement to them. We want to thank them. We want to say, "Wow, you did that really well." We want to see something good in them and identify it and tell them about it. And we're going to put blessing into their soul so that becomes their prophetic destiny. Amen? That's what we're about. God brings redemption and blessing. Even in the original curse back in Genesis 3, where it says, you have pain and childbearing, the ground is cursed by the sweat of your brow, God also pronounced that the Redeemer of mankind would crush the head of the one who brought the curse. It's right there. It's right from the beginning. God had a plan. So what does God want you to live in? Does he want you to live under the curse of bad decisions you made, the curse of people who spoke evil and cursing over your life? Is that where God wants you to live? No, not at all. So he's bringing us out into the blessing. The blessings of Abraham. Let me read to you Genesis 12, 1 through 3. I was in a church in Nigeria. It was a very faith-oriented church, and the pastor had come up with 20 blessings of Abraham. And he had us stand up, and he would read them one at a time. And after he read the blessing, everybody shouted. They didn't say amen. They shouted, amen. And then he'd read the next blessing of Abraham. They're like, amen. These ladies behind me were just going for it. I'm like, wow, you are serious. But there was something uplifting about it. They did a few blessings like, kings will be born through you. And everybody's yelling, amen. I'm like, there's going to be a lot of kings in this church, man. There's like 200 or 300 people here. So sometimes people misquote the Bible. But the point was their spirit really touched my heart. It's like, yes, they are serious about receiving the blessings of God. So here, this is what the Lord said to Abraham. He said, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. The one who curses you, I will curse. God knows how to deal with people. He knows how to deal with people. We saw that in my friend Shibuzo. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, that's speaking of Jesus the Messiah. But, you know, I take these things to heart. I pray all the time. People bless me. I said, Father, bless the people who bless me, just like you did for Abraham. Bless them. I believe God blesses people who bless me. I believe he'll bless people who bless you. I believe people who try and curse me, that God knows how to deal with them. He knows how to deal with it. My job is to stay in the blessing and to bless others. Abraham was not blessed to keep it all to himself, was he? So the next point, like Abraham, we are blessed to be a blessing. Somebody say amen. Yeah, that's our goal, to be a blessing. We look in Luke, we're looking at the ministry of Jesus. Jesus came, he's approved by his father, you're well-pleasing to me, he's tempted by the devil, he overcomes the devil, he goes out in the power of the Spirit, he begins to heal the sick, open blind eyes, people afflicted with demons, he orders the demons to leave and they leave. He reads from Isaiah 61, said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord's anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, to open the blind eyes, to set free those who are oppressed. So John Tyson said, you could sum up Jesus' ministry as unleashing God's blessing on planet Earth. That's what it's about. So that's your next point. Jesus' redemption unleashes God's blessings. In theology and Bible students, there's something that they call the Great Exchange. I've preached on this before. You see it in Isaiah 61, where we see the Messiah is come to comfort everyone who mourns. And so you give God your mourning, and then what do you receive? Yeah, you receive comfort. You exchange your, crying for joy. You exchange your heavy spirit for praise. So we have to learn how to do that. Because your job where you live, your job where you work, it's your 40-hour week job, is to unleash the blessings of Jesus in the lives of people around you. If we make that our goal, so you know we have that little BLESS acronym that I'm talking about all the time. This is what it is. We're just there to love and bless people. And if we do that, Jesus looks good. If we do that, people will be interested in hearing about Jesus. Right? Because if you love them and bless them all the time, I'm like, what is it with you? But if I respond in the flesh to people, then I'm no different than, you see what I'm saying? The annoying person, if I respond to them like everybody else responds to them, there's no witness. And so we have to rise above that, which is why we're going to pray for each other in life groups, so we can live this. We can unleash and bring God's blessing to people around us. So for your reflection, you should have gotten a sheet, a blue sheet. If you didn't get one, there's one out on the table. This is a Puritan prayer. This was written by somebody like 300 years ago. But they understood the exchange that takes place, okay? So I'm going to read part of this to you to close, to encourage us. Ed, if you just have like a closing song for us, please, we need that. I'm going to start in the second verse. Christ was all anguish that I might be all joy, cast off that I might be brought in, trodden down as an enemy that I might be welcomed as a friend, surrendered to hell's worst that I might attain heaven's best. Ephesians 1. Stripped that I might be clothed, wounded that I might be healed, athirst that I might drink, tormented that I might be comforted, made ashamed that I might inherit glory, entered darkness that I might have eternal light. Are you capturing this? I love this. This is beautiful. My Savior wept that all tears might be wiped from my eyes, groaned that I might have endless song, endured all pain that I might have unfading health, bore a thorn crown that I might have a glory diadem, bowed his head that I might uplift mine. We can look up to God without being ashamed, experienced reproach that I might receive welcome, closed his eyes in death that I might gaze on unclouded brightness, expired that I might forever live. Isn't that beautiful? Let's read this last point to close out here. Let's just read this little prayer starting with, O Father, together. O Father, who spared not thine only Son, that thou mightest spare me, all this transfer thy love designed and accomplished. Help me to adore thee by lips and life. Oh, that my every breath might be ecstatic praise, my every step buoyant with delight as I see my enemies crushed, Satan baffled, defeated, destroyed, sin buried in the ocean of reconciling blood, hell's gates closed, heaven's portal or door open. Go forth, O conquering God, and show me the cross, mighty to subdue, comfort, and save. Amen. So let's pray. So two things. If you see that there's a curse in your life, something you believe that somebody spoke over you, give that to God right now. You see a family sin that you struggle with, give it to God right now and pray. We're praying the redemption, the power of Jesus' death. He bore the curse, the power of his resurrection. He's risen from the dead. Death cannot hold him. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That power gives you a new inheritance. You don't have to be subject to that any longer. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, do so. Just be honest with him. Say, Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner, and because you died for sin, if I trust you, God's not going to count my sins against me any longer. So I want to give my sins to you, and I want you to save me, and I want you to live in me, and I want you to help me live your way and learn to be free from all the darkness that's bound me. You can tell Jesus that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I just want to lead us in prayer. Every sin, Lord, that stumbles us, every bad habit that we feel, I can't shake this, Lord, we give that to you right now in Jesus' name. Seek to leave it with him. Just, Lord, we give you that. We ask your spirit to root it out of us and to replace it with the blessing of Jesus Christ, every spiritual blessing. Father, the blessing I need to be free from that sin, to be free from that curse, to be free from that burden, Father, bring it into us. Displace it by the power of your Holy Spirit. Say amen if you want that. Say it again. Amen, Lord. We want this. We want your blessing to displace the darkness in our lives, to displace the curse. Father, thank you for your people. We're going to continue on this. We're going to keep praying this way. We're going to help each other, Father, walk in what Jesus purchased for us, the blessings of Abraham, the promise of the Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and just sing one verse through this song to close.